Today's scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into a time of trial.' And then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of your persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone amongst you who, if a child asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the God for the people of God.
I'm going to be confessional here for just a couple of moments and tell you that I am a huge fan of Marvel movies. And yesterday was a big day. If you follow San Diego Comic-Con, I'm sure you all do. Yesterday, Marvel announced its next phase of movies that'll be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that just tickled my little geeky heart. Like, I love all things Marvel. I grew up reading comic books, and my favorite character in the MCU is Thor. And so a couple of weeks back, Stephanie and Addie were out of town for a gymnastics camp, so I made a parental decision, and Lily Grace and I went to the premiere of Thor: Love and Thunder. So we bought our tickets on Fandango, and now you can pre-purchase all of your food, like you can pre-purchase all of your refreshments from the concession stand, so you get the sticker shock right up front instead of twice. And so Lily Grace and I went to see Thor: Love and Thunder, and we walk into the movie theater and we collect our snacks, you know, our 55-gallon drum of popcorn and 128 ounces of Coke, you know, because Mom wasn't home. And we go to sit down and watch the movie, and we expect to sit and see a movie about a space Viking and his girlfriend who gets the powers of Thor by picking up Mighty Mjolnir, the hammer. You guys still with me? We're getting there, y'all. Just bear with me for a second. But there's a scene early on in the movie that I wasn't expecting. When the antagonist in the movie meets his God, a God that he was devout to his whole life, and what he finds out is that his God doesn't care for him. That his God is not concerned with his existence. That his God doesn't love him and is only using him. And that scene and that movie haunted me for a few weeks. In fact, it still haunts me now because it raised two key questions for me. First, is God good? And second, does God even care about me? For the past month or so, we've been in the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 10, and our focus so far has been on how to be less distracted in our discipleship, less distracted in our journey with Jesus, so that we can gain a greater understanding of what God is doing in our lives, in our relationships, and in our world. And as we focused on being less distracted, we haven't talked about all that goes into being a disciple. And one of the key characteristics, one of the essential parts of discipleship is prayer. So today, as we leave Luke 10 and move into Luke 11, we're going to take a look at how Jesus instructs his disciples to pray. This is what Luke writes. He says, One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now, you can read this verse and think this is a throwaway verse. This is a verse that's really just setting up the scene that's about to unfold before us. But you can't miss this verse. This is critical, friends. Because this verse lets us know that Jesus, once again, had a habit of prayer. This isn't the only time in the Gospels we hear about Jesus praying. In fact, if we were to zoom out on Jesus' life and ministry, we would see him again and again finding regular time to slip away from the hustle and bustle of life and ministry to spend time connecting with God in prayer. Jesus had a routine to his day that included intentional time with God. Friends, if you're looking to be a less distracted disciple, if you're looking for a way to connect with God in a real and powerful way, start with setting aside time to pray. Many of you in this room believe that going to the gym is important, and you set aside time to go to the gym. You set aside time to go to the doctor. You set aside time to study. But are you setting aside time to pray? Are you setting aside time to encounter God on your own? If you want to grow in your relationship with God, start by setting aside time and then begin to pray regularly, routinely, like Jesus did, spending time daily with God. What I love about this first verse is this moment, as Jesus is wrapping up his prayers, one of his disciples gets the courage, the audacity to ask Jesus how to do what he was doing. I love that. And I also love that this disciple is unnamed. Did you catch that? That Luke doesn't say it was John who went to ask Jesus how to pray, because John would never do that, am I right? The gospel doesn't say that it was Peter who went to ask Jesus how to pray, because everybody just assumed Peter knew how to pray. No, this unnamed disciple musters up the courage to ask a question that maybe all of the other disciples wanted to know the answer to. Jesus, how is it that we are supposed to pray? And he's not afraid to ask. No, this unnamed disciple isn't afraid to approach Jesus to ask for what he needs. So Jesus, in response to his request, begins instructing the disciples. Jesus gives his disciples the gift of instruction on how to pray, the answer to what they've been asking for. In verse 2, it says that Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name," or "Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." It's pretty simple, isn't it? This unnamed disciples asked Jesus to teach he and his fellow disciples how to pray, and Jesus launches into something that's completely unexpected, at least to us. Jesus teaches the power of simple prayer. Sometimes we overthink prayer, don't we? Modern Christian writers and influencers would have you take more than a few steps to begin talking with God. They would advise you to find a quiet place, maybe a prayer closet, and if you don't have a prayer closet, then build one. Find a war room. A war room. Get all of your thoughts centered. Maybe bring a journal and a cup of coffee. Better yet, instead of bringing a cup of coffee, find a coffee shop where you can sit down with your Bible and your thoughts and your cup of coffee and your journal and your pen, and then open up Instagram and take a few pictures so we can all know that you're getting ready to spend time with the Lord. Maybe you guys don't follow Instagram like I do. It's complicated. Y'all, all of that fails the kiss test every time, doesn't it? It's not simple prayer. That's complicated. That's complicated. Jesus lets us know that prayer doesn't require an acronym to remind you of everything that's supposed to happen when you go to God in prayer. Prayer is simply an ongoing conversation with God. And Jesus tells us that the simplest way to approach God is as a loving Father. So he says, when you pray, say, "Our Father, hallowed be your name. Our Father, holy is your name." Then Jesus asks us to ask for whatever we need, not with flowery language, not with some long-winded, repetitive saying, but to simply ask. So he says, say, "Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need to survive, what we need to have provided for our daily living." Jesus knows that we can't make it through our life on our own. God knows that we have needs, and he invites us to boldly approach him to ask for that very thing that we need, whatever that happens to be. So say, "Our Father, holy is your name. Give us that which we need." Then he says, ask for forgiveness. Say, "Forgive us our sins and help us to forgive." I love that Jesus makes praying for forgiveness an inward and outward practice, that it's not enough to simply ask for our own forgiveness, but that we need to ask for the capacity, the desire, the strength to forgive others. "Our Father, forgive us." Then he says, finally, "Lead us away from temptation, away from danger, and toward your goodness." I don't know about you, but I need someone to lead me. I love that Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd because I need herding. Because I have a particular spiritual gift, and some of you know this because you've been on mission trips with me, or maybe you've just been in my truck. I have the gift of walking confidently. It's a spiritual gift. I don't know about spiritual, but I have that gift. I can walk confidently nearly any direction. Sometimes it's the right direction, sometimes it's the wrong direction, but I will walk confidently whatever direction that I am going. I learned this as a child. My mom was a nursing administrator, and so I was in the hospital a lot, and she said, "If you're ever scared, just pick up your head and walk like you know what you're doing." And so I do that all the time. I walk through some doors I wasn't supposed to go through. I need someone to lead me because I walk confidently the wrong direction. "Our Father, give us, forgive us, lead us." These are not well put together, eloquent thoughts or turns of phrase. These are desperate cries from a helpless people to an almighty and loving God who hears, a God who desires to be addressed as loving Father, holy Father. I think the most beautiful thing that Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer is that God is available to us, that we don't have to wait, we don't have to prepare, we don't have to put on a show, we don't have to get the coffee ready or the journal out. We can just show up broken and needy, and our God hears and responds. But that's not the end of Jesus' lesson on prayer. He begins to tell a parable. Verse 5 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I've been there. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Have you been approaching God with shameless audacity? I know I haven't, or at least I don't very often. Most of the time I try to show up before God prepared and ready, my shoe shined, ready for an experience of God. That's not how God desires for us to approach him. He invites us to be shameless and audacious in our approach, to not worry about what it looks like or what it sounds like or what it feels like, but to enter into the presence of God without fear. Because when we do that, our God responds. Our God always hears us. We can approach God just as we are, wherever we are. Is it the middle of the night? Good. Pray, because God is listening. Is it the middle of your work day? Good. Pray, because God is listening. Are you sitting in the pickup line or drop-off line at school? Good. Pray, because God is listening, and you might need to ask for forgiveness. Because if you're willing to approach God with boldness and without fear, God is ready to respond and give you what it is you need. Now that would be enough of a lesson on prayer. Take a simple approach, shamelessly ask for what you need, because God is ready to respond. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Just in case you weren't convinced that your heavenly Father stands ready, Jesus almost dares his disciples, almost dares us to approach God. Ask, he says, seek, knock, so that you might receive, find, so that you might enter into the presence of God. Y'all, it's simple and it's powerful and it's critical stuff for our walk with God. Jesus wants us to understand that God is waiting for us to show up just as we are, to stand boldly and shamelessly before God and ask for what it is that we need. But Jesus goes even further. Remember, this is a lesson on prayer. So far, Jesus has taught us to take a simple approach, to shamelessly ask, to keep asking for what we need, to not be afraid. Then Jesus says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is holy, who is good, who is righteous, hallowed be his name, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus' point here is that we don't have some unapproachable, omnipotent being that we call God, but that we have a God who draws near to us and offers us his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. We don't have to approach God out of fear, but we can approach God who is a loving Father and who knows how to give good gifts to supply our every need if we would only ask. In teaching his disciples and us today how to pray, Jesus tells us once more that our God is indeed good, that our God does care for us, that we need not fear approaching him, but ought to come as we are into the presence of the one who formed our inmost being, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who knows our heart's desires and the person he crafted and created us to be. So this morning, you're invited into the presence of God, a holy and loving God who cares about you, who's waiting for you to ask for what you need, who's waiting to offer you forgiveness and the capacity to forgive, who's waiting for you to allow him to lead every area of your life. So this morning, we're going to spend a few moments in silence to take this opportunity to boldly approach a God who loves you so much that he's willing to send his son to die for you. A God who loves you so much that he would never leave you nor forsake you. A God who loves you so much that he welcomes you anytime you turn to him. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive anyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. All these we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.